Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome in to Overtime on this fabulous Tuesday afternoon. I will be your host once again, Cole McCormick, the usual producer, sitting in the host chair tonight. To my left, intern Matt. Up in the producer's perch for hour one, Julia Ramsey. So three out of the four pieces of Overtime are here. Tanner Carson, our fearless leader, took the night off. He did three and out this morning, filling in for the Godfather, Nate, and then also Houston, as they are both gone. He also had some sales meetings today, I believe, for the station. So a busy day for TC. So he took the night off. But we will be with you until 8 o'clock. How are y'all doing today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's been a slow Tuesday.
Has it?
For me, yeah. I don't know. I just moved by, creeping along, you know.
Okay.
But it has been pretty slow.
Not really doing anything?
Yeah, just some school, you know, a little bit.
Are you in summer school?
Yeah, I'm taking a couple classes, yeah.
Okay. Julia, what about you?
Yeah, it's been slow as well.
Well, that's always good. Mine was not slow.
No?
Mine has not been slow. I've been at work all day today. Very busy day. But I'm a company man. When somebody asks me to do something, I come in and do it. So when Tanner asked me to host, of course, I said yes. So yeah, it's good to know everybody had a good day. I'll be honest with you. I come in here a lot. I don't have good days. I don't know about y'all. I don't have good days all the time.
But that
today
happens.
Today has been a good day. So let's see. We have some breaking news regarding Carrie Blackshear.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. No, we don't.
Oh, man.
There is no news regarding Carrie Blackshear. I thought I would get you on
that.
My heart started
beating really fast.
I knew it would.
Don't do that to me.
I got you both.
I got you both.
You got to be on your toes when I'm in the host chair. Okay? You got to be on your toes.
Shoo-wee.
No, there is nothing to report. I saw a great tweet just a second ago. Let me go ahead and pull it up. I don't know if y'all follow this account. Channel Tennessee. Do y'all follow that account on Twitter?
I do.
It is absolutely fantastic. And they just put out one of the best tweets they've ever put out. All it says is J.J. Peterson and Carrie Blackshear, and it's the Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man picture.
Oh.
Is Carrie Blackshear a real person? Do we know this?
Seriously.
He's been a little off the map lately.
Is he a real person? Is he still around?
Yeah, I mean,
nobody saw him when he was here in Knoxville. He was in Kentucky for maybe a day. He didn't even go home. He didn't go to Gainesville. Didn't go home for a visit down there. Didn't even go see his old coach at Texas A&M in Buzz Peterson. Or not Buzz Peterson, Buzz Williams, excuse me. Is he alive?
Where is Carrie
I don't know.
Blackshear?
Is he in some kind of black hole that we don't know about?
He's just ghosting the nation right now. I don't know.
Yes. I don't know. I'm kind of getting sick of thinking about it. You know, I don't want to hinge my sanity on a 20-year-old, 21-year-old's decision about being a grad transfer somewhere. But as of right now, that's where it's at. And I'm getting old, and it's getting old. I don't know about y'all. I'm kind of getting sick of the whole Carrie Blackshear thing. A part of me, like, doesn't want him. Well, okay, I won't say doesn't want him to come to Tennessee. I just don't want to keep hearing about him.
Yeah, you just kind of want it to be over.
Yeah, because every time we, quote, hear something about him, it's nothing.
Mm.
It's down to Tennessee and Kentucky. He's not taking any more visits anywhere. A decision could be coming soon. We heard that about, you know, 4 or 5 days ago.
Right.
So I'm just getting sick of it. Where do y'all stand? Do you like the anticipation of maybe getting a big-time player for this 1 year, a player that could step in for Grant Williams and fill that five spot? Or are you kind of like me, you're just over it, you want him to just announce already, just go ahead and get it over with?
I like the build-up to it, but after a while, yeah, I just get worn out. I'm just like, all right. Of course, I still want him, but at this point, I'm just like, just make a decision. Like, you're killing us over here.
Yeah. Julia, what about you?
From the beginning with Blackshear, I told myself, I was like, I am not getting my hopes up. I am not doing it this time. And I've pretty much maintained that throughout this whole process. But, like, last week when they said, you know, possible decision coming this weekend, I started to get my hopes up a little bit. But I'm still trying to keep them at a normal rate. But it's not really working. I'm very anxious.
Yeah. I mean,
I just want to know.
Yeah. I mean, people tell me – I mean, this is just me. People tell me all the time to not – let's see, how should I phrase it? To not get too excited or too depressed when it comes to teenagers slash young people making decisions on where they will play their respected sport and go to school. I don't listen to those people. And I'll tell you what, I might need to start, because with this Kerry Blackshear stuff,
it's
getting old. It's driving me nuts. Now, we have had success the last few days since Friday with football and commits, which Tennessee got another one today, but we will get to that in a minute. But with this Kerry Blackshear stuff, I mean, Knoxville has the basketball itch now. I feel like we've kind of always had it, but the team, the program hasn't been, I mean, great since whenever Bruce Pearl left. And now that Rick Barnes seems to have things rolling, I feel like the itch is back. So it kind of means more to me now. I want big-time players. I want to be relevant in college basketball. But if this is what it takes to be drugged through the mud by a grad transfer, I don't know if I want it. I don't know if I want it. But that's just
tough.
That's just me. We'll go ahead and get off of him, because I feel like I've talked about him and thought about him way too much than I should have. And I don't want to spend another minute today doing it, unless he commits. We'll go ahead and move on to Tennessee's latest commit today, Elijah Howard. I honestly did not know who this guy was. I believe he used to play at a Webb School of Knoxville. I think that's right. But now he's down at he's down at Baylor School down there in Chattanooga. Mr. Howard, he's listed as an athlete, but I believe he's mainly a running back down there for Baylor and was also at Webb. 5'11", 183 pounds. He is in the 2021 class, however. No rankings on him yet since it is pretty far out. But Tennessee, you know, there was a lot of talk not too long ago. I believe maybe just even last week, even week and a half, 2 weeks. You know, some people were getting kind of fed up, kind of tired of no news on the recruiting trail for Tennessee. And it felt like when we would get some good news, it would be, you know, a two-star long snapper, or it would be a three-star lineman that nobody's ever heard of. And, you know, there's a lot of stargazers out there. I get that. I get it. I mean, I like to look at them every now and then. I like the stars. But at the end of the day, stars don't mean everything. But Mr. Mr. Howard commits today. Let me pull up some of his stats. He's small, but I'll tell you what, he's fast. I believe I saw something earlier. I don't know if I can find it right now. He runs a 4.3 40-yard dash.
Chewy.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
And he's only, that would, 2021 class, that would make him a, going into his junior year of high school. Is that correct?
I believe so. Yeah, because it would be 20 in the junior year.
Yeah, so going into his junior year of high school, he's running a 4.3 40. That is absolutely insane. Now,
it's pretty fast.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It is. He needs to put on some weight, which everybody does when they get to school, athlete or not. You know, you need to. You're a skinny kid coming out of high school. But, 183, 5'11", you know, that's not SEC size at the moment. But with Coach Fitz over there, we have seen what he can do. But, another commit today. Let's see a couple more offers for him. Of course, Tennessee, Mississippi State also offered him. Purdue, Tulane, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. So only, 6 offers at the moment. Yeah, 6. Sorry, I can't count. 6 offers at the moment, but he stays in state. We'll see if that changes. I don't really think it does. Usually when kids commit this early, unless they're just a really high-profile guy, they're probably going to stick. He has no ratings at the moment. He has nothing. He just has a name and his height and weight. So not too worried about it. But, another big commit for Tennessee today. We will see how that goes in the future. And then real quick before we go to break here in just a minute, I wanted to read a piece. We talked about it yesterday. We broke it yesterday. We didn't talk about it. We broke the internet.
We broke it.
We broke Twitter. We broke everything. Keyshawn Lawrence, of course, everyone knows, committed to Tennessee yesterday. But he sat down and talked to Austin Price over at VolQuest, I believe later last night, maybe even before the announcement. But he sat down with him and talked about his recruitment and why he chose Tennessee. And there were some key pieces in here that really stuck out to me, so I wanted to pass it along. It's not recruiting update material, so I figured I'd go ahead and knock it out. Price starts off by saying, after getting a big piece of the in-state in-state prospects last week with four-star center Cooper Mays. The Vols have landed a huge in-state defensive priority and four-star defensive back Keyshawn Lawrence, the 6'2", 185-pound Nashville product, picked Tennessee over Miami in a heated recruiting battle. Lawrence says because it's in-state, that's why he picked Tennessee. He goes on to say, they were the first school to give me a shot. They were the first school to offer me. I have a lot of friends here. The coaching staff is good. They are good with DBs and just good people. He also says, I was really torn. I just wanted to find the place that I can make a difference. And after talking it over, Tennessee was that spot. Let's see. He has some other quotes in here. Price goes on to say, landing Lawrence was no easy task for head coach Jeremy Pruitt and defensive coordinator Derek Ansley. Tennessee's recruitment of Lawrence started from ground zero back in the winter. Lawrence was close with former coach Terry Fair. When Fair and the Vols parted ways, Tennessee lost its momentum with Lawrence. But over time, Lawrence has found the comfort he needed with Ansley. Lawrence says he's a pretty cool coach. At first, I really wasn't so sure because I was so upset over the over Coach Fair. When I got to know him, he's cool. I think he's truthful and trustful. He has to know what he's talking about because he worked at Alabama and at the highest level with the Raiders, so he knows what he's talking about. There's some more quotes, but the most interesting one I saw was down towards the end. Price says, with Lawrence joining Mays, the push is on for others in the state of Tennessee. Lawrence is close with other recruits, Tyler Barron and Jay Hardy, two of the Vols' priority in-state targets. Lawrence says, we are all like brothers. Tyler is like my best friend. I have been real close with Cooper for the last couple of months, last couple of years. Excuse me. Oh, no. Oh, no, our wall.
Oh, man.
It's a ghost. Anyway, he says he has known Jay Hardy since he was in the 10th grade. We are all close. We are all brothers. And then he says, we are trying to go to the same school. It may or may not work out. We will see. That's the one that stuck out to me.
Yeah, that's hype.
I mean, Tyler Barron and Jay Hardy are arguably two of the best defensive ends, not just in the state, but definitely in the state, but in the entire country. It helps that they're in-state. It helps that they're both in East Tennessee. And now having one of their best friends just commit to the Vols, you have to feel good about both of them. I thought it was interesting as well. I noticed on Tyler Barron and Jay Hardy's social media last night, they both had hinted at their decisions and whatnot. I can't remember exactly what they said, but Barron said something on the lines of things are starting to get clear, and that was immediately after Mr. Lawrence dropped his video, and then Jay Hardy also had something along those lines. So maybe Keyshawn Lawrence is the piece that Tennessee really needs. I mean, a lot of people think it's Harrison Bailey. I mean, he's a great, I don't know what you'd call him, recruiter of others. I don't know what you'd say, but having that tie to those two is huge. I will also point out he's very close to Reggie Grimes as well. They've apparently been really close, and Sayre Young too. So if you're a Tennessee fan like we all are here, and I hope all the listeners are, you have to feel good about him. Even though he is an Alabama legacy, some of his best friends going to Tennessee would probably sway his thoughts and decision. So I just wanted to pass that along. So I'm not saying it's going to be anytime soon because honestly I have no idea.
Right.
But Tyler Barron and Jay Hardy, I would not be shocked if they chose Tennessee. I felt, you know, they were Tennessee lanes all along. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. I'm not really sure when each are supposed to decide and announce. I've heard Barron maybe in July. I'm not really sure about Jay Hardy, but we'll just have to wait and see. But it would be huge, especially for the in-state hall, because every year we hear, well, so-and-so coach can't lock down Tennessee. So-and-so mm-hmm. coach can't get the best players in state.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Cooper Mays and Keyshawn Lawrence, and then if you get to add Jay Hardy and Tyler Barron, that just goes away. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully it all works out for Tennessee, but we will just have to wait and see. Okay, let's go ahead and take the first break of the show. We have an absolutely fantastic show coming up. A little later, let's see, Athlon has ranked the 130 FBS teams. We'll get into that and tell you where Tennessee lands. UConn is in the news. I feel like they're never in the news. Let's see, Arkansas is spending a lot of money on baseball. California, they may not be able to win championships or be rewarded championships. And then we'll also talk about last night's College World Series game and the one tonight. A lot of good stuff. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. You are listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio.
48% of young adults have untagged themselves from a photo on Facebook because of their smile. And 61% of adults are attracted to somebody by their smile alone. I'm Dr. Daniel Smith of Smith Family Dentistry in Oliver Springs. And if you're unhappy with your smile, let us help. From same-day crowns to short-term adult orthodontics, dentures to kids, we're able to brighten that grin for your next selfie. Call us at 865-435-4100 or visit smithfamilydds.com for more info. That's Smith Family Dentistry at 865-435-4100 or smithfamilydds.com.
Hello, I'm your website, and I'm way too slow. All your potential customers have all...
Welcome back into the show. Before we left, I told you Athlon has released their, top 130 team rankings for 2019, so pretty much ranking everyone. It's a yearly thing. It's a summer thing for them. It's list season. I mean, let's get real. It's list season.
That it is.
Because there's nothing going on. I mean, we got the College World Series kind of going on. MLB, I feel like they never stop. Their season is just forever.
Yeah, they just keep going.
We have women's soccer, of course, going on. But other than that, there's nothing going on. So you got to make up stuff like this, and they have made a large list. They start off by saying college football's 2019 season officially begins on August 24th, but it's never too early to project where all 130 teams will finish at the end of the year. Athlon Sports released its top 25 in May, and now it's time to project the rest of the teams 26 through 130. Alabama and Clemson lead the way in the overall rankings, followed by Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Kind of gave more away than I wanted to there, but let's just go ahead. We'll do the top 25. We'll discuss some interesting rankings for a few teams, and then of course get into Tennessee. As I already mentioned, Alabama and Clemson are at the top. Alabama at number one. I'm not shocked. I kind of am. I feel like Clemson might slip in there, but Clemson right behind them at two. Let's see, three of course Georgia. Four, Michigan, and five, Ohio State. I thought it was interesting they ranked Michigan ahead of Ohio State. Michigan hasn't really seemed to have any kind of success that matters since Harbaugh's been there. I mean, they haven't beaten Ohio State.
They might this year.
There's no Urban Meyer and all the stuff that goes on up there. So you never know. But I did think that was interesting, especially with Ohio State now getting Justin Fields. I thought that was interesting, but we'll have to wait and see. Six, OU, Oklahoma. Seven, LSU. Eight, Florida. Nine, Notre Dame. Still giving love to Notre Dame. They might go undefeated again, go to the playoff, and then get absolutely blasted in the first round. That is Notre Dame tradition. 10, Texas A&M. I thought that one was interesting. I mean, I felt like they were going to have a pretty good season with Kellen Mond coming back. All those receivers and running backs, they seem to just grow down there. But 10, I thought that was a little high, but they come in at 10. Let's see. Arch rival Texas comes in at 11. Washington at 12. Let's see. Utah at 13. I thought that was interesting, too.
Wow.
Very, very high.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about Utah football or the state in general. But, I know that they have had some pretty good success for what feels like a while. But to be ranked number 13,
that's
something.
That's high.
I feel like that's high. Yeah, I mean, you always kind of see them. You know, they're always in the top 25, I feel like. But, like, you know, late 20s, like mid-20s or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 13, that's higher than I can ever remember them being.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's usually, you know, you give them, like, the between 20, 25 range. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, they're good, but, I mean, it's Utah.
Yeah.
But 13, okay, maybe a big season coming for the Utes. Let's see, 14, Penn State. Not shocking. Oregon at 15. Were they good last year?
They were decent.
I mean, they have Justin Herbert, but other than that.
Were they ranked at all?
I don't know.
Yeah, that is a little interesting.
I don't know. I mean, they must be pretty good. Let's see what they say about the Ducks. They had a lot to say about the Ducks. They say Oregon returns all of the necessary pieces to win its first Pac-12 title since 2014. Quarterback Justin Herbert passed on the NFL for one more year at Oregon, and the senior ranks among the best in college football. Herbert started every game in 2018, throwing 3,151 yards and 29 touchdowns to just 8 picks. So really, they're just giving the edge to him, which makes sense. I mean, he is one of the best quarterbacks this year, I think, just outside of Tua and Fromm in the for the draft this coming season. But that's just my opinion. Let's see. They also talk about the running backs. His supporting cast features one of the nation's top offensive lines and a solid 1-2 punch at running back in C.J. Verdell and Travis Dye. So, I mean, maybe they have – maybe they do have a pretty solid team. I just didn't really hear them make any noise last year. Maybe it's just because the Pac-12 has just been so bad.
Yeah, they have.
Maybe. I mean, it's that's got to be it. I mean, Oregon used to be really good when they had Chip Kelly, Marcus Mariota, when Tennessee went up there, got our butts handed to us. We all know how good they were, but I just didn't feel like they were that good still. But 15, okay, maybe yeah, they are good. I don't know. Let's see, 16, Michigan State. 17, Nebraska. Really? Nebraska, after going 4-8 last year, just like us, they're at number 17.
Oh, making a comeback.
Whew, what do they have to say about Nebraska? Let's see. Scott Frost has Nebraska trending up entering 2019. The Cornhuskers finished 2018 by winning 4 out of their last 6 games. Okay. The 2 losses, Ohio State and Iowa, came by a combined 8 points. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe that Ohio State game was close. I just didn't realize. Interesting. Let's see. Quarterback Adrian Martinez. If I'll tell you what, if he has a good year, I might kill myself.
I know.
I might kill myself.
It'd be so hard to watch.
Quarterback Adrian Martinez averaged 295.1 total yards a game as a freshman last year and will only get better with another offseason to work with Frost. Martinez's development is a big reason why the Cornhuskers are the pick to win the Big Ten West. Oh, wow. So a huge leap for Scott Frost in year two at Nebraska. I don't know if he'll get it. Martinez, I mean, we all knew he was good coming out of high school. There's a reason why Tennessee wanted him. And, you know, of course, all the good ones leave. But we'll see. But 17, that one's very interesting. 18, Iowa. I feel like that's pretty typical for them. Wisconsin, 19. Auburn 20, Syracuse 21. Did they lose that quarterback of theirs? Do we know?
Not sure.
I have no idea what his name is, but I feel like he was one of the main reasons they beat Clemson last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a pretty good run. Wait, did they beat Clemson last year? Or was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was
two years ago.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah, that was when what's his face?
Oh, quarterback. Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So they lost this year, but 2 years ago won. Okay. They did have a pretty good season last year. I don't know if that quarterback left, though. But they're at 21. UCF, 22. They just won't go away. I mean, they just won't go away. I'm sick of them. 23, Missouri. Oh, Derek Dooley.
Whoop.
Cracking the top 25. Iowa State at 24. And to round up your top 25, Virginia. I'm sure you all have noticed, I did not mention Tennessee. They did not make the top 25. They did not make the top 30. They did not make the top 35.
Oh, geez.
They did not make the top 40.
Oh,
did we make the top 50?
And we did not make the top 45. Your Tennessee Volunteers coming in at number 47 out of 130.
Let's shock the world.
Yeah, please. Let's see. Athlon has this to say about Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt has things going in the right direction, and the Volunteers seem poised to return to a winning record in 2019. Quarterback Jared Garantano should thrive under new offensive coordinator Jim Chaney, and the addition of 2 touted freshman tackles should help the line. Tennessee's defense has concerns up front, but should be solid in the secondary. 47. You know, I think a part of me wants to say that's a little low, but then the other part of me thinks, well, I mean, that's fair. I mean, last year, we didn't show anybody anything.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of winning at Auburn and then beating Kentucky at home, last year sucked. Mm. Like, we did nothing. I think those were 2 wins by luck, if I'm being completely honest. But 47, I don't know. I might, like, if it was in the 30s, I'd be like, okay, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, with Jim Chaney coming in, with Derek Ainsley coming in, year 2 of the regime, I would say, you know, maybe 30s, but 47, that just feels a little low. What do y'all think?
I mean, yeah.
Maybe a little bit low.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, if I don't know, yeah, I feel like it might be. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of perfect.
Okay.
Because I think that, like, even though we didn't do as well, like, we didn't do well really at all these past few years.
Yeah.
I feel like there's still a little bit of, like, there's some expectations of us to, like, for especially Jeremy Pruitt to, you know, take a leap.
Sure.
And, you know, take a big step forward. So, I don't know. I feel like the 30 to 50 range is, like, I don't know. I feel like that's a good spot for us to land.
Yeah, at least it's not outside of the top 50.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line. Mm-hmm. That's where I draw the line. Athlon has no idea what they're talking about if we're outside of the top 50, but we are at 47. So, okay, that's good enough. Let's see. A few teams ahead of Tennessee that I thought were interesting and wanting to mention. And a few teams you will play. Mississippi State comes in at 30. Just a few spots behind them. 32, South Carolina.
Wow.
Let's see. Northwestern at 35, which, I mean, I feel like they've been on the uptick there for the last few years ever since, what's his name? Fitzgerald. Is that their coach's name? Craig Fitzgerald? Mm. Or no, not Craig Fitzgerald. I forgot what his name is, but I think his last name is Fitzgerald. I might be completely wrong. But anyway, they are at 35. NC State at 38. Cincinnati at 39. Let's see. PJ Fleck and the Gophers at 40. Let's see. They even have Army ahead of Tennessee coming in at 44.
Pat Fitzgerald.
Yes. Okay. I knew it was Fitzgerald. If you want something to feel good about, Kentucky comes after Tennessee by one spot, number 48 for the Wildcats.
Shoo-wee.
Take that. They could take that. Memphis at 49.
Thank goodness.
Vanderbilt at 50. So good to see that they are behind us. And then I don't believe there's any other SEC teams after. Oh, I'm wrong. Ole Miss, 62.
Ugh, that's bad.
That's rough.
What year is this for Matt Luke? Is this second or third?
Or is it? Not sure.
I want to say it's a second.
It's pretty early for him. He hadn't been there too long. But, God, 62nd. I don't know about that. But yeah, that's just a few I wanted to pass along. But 47 for your Tennessee Volunteers, I think it's pretty fair. It's nothing to really cry over. These rankings mean nothing. But at the end of the day, everybody wants to be up close to the top. But, of course, Tennessee is not. Another SEC when I just saw Arkansas at 70. Ouch.
Mm. This is year two for Matt Luke.
Yeah. Okay. Year two? Okay. Yeah. I kind of thought it was year two. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on down there. I'll tell you what, though. They had a big June, I believe. 15 commits in the month of June for Ole Miss.
Whoa.
I believe I saw that today.
Wow.
They 14 got one or 15. Today, didn't they?
So, they got another one today. Yeah. A guy that Tennessee really wanted, which he is dead to me now. But we'll see what he can do. But 47 for Tennessee. I don't know what all the listeners think. I think it's okay. Some people will say, we need to be 130. Well, that's just not true.
Yeah, no.
That's just not true. You just want to be mad. You just want to be mad, and you just want to be miserable, if you think that's true. But I digress. Let's go ahead and take another break. Let's see. What time is it? 6:32. Yeah, we'll talk about some UConn stuff next. Mount Rushmore. I think today's Mount Rushmore is going to be very good. Shout out to The Drive. Shout out to listener T-Carp. Everybody involved on The Drive today. They gave me the inspiration for today's Mount Rushmore. I will share that a little later. I think it's going to be a good one. But you will have to wait and find out. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. You're listening to Overtime on Fox Sports Knoxville. Welcome back into Overtime, everybody. Let's go ahead and talk about UConn. Have y'all seen any of the stuff about UConn lately?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit.
Have you?
No, I haven't seen anything.
It seems that they cannot make up their mind what conference they want to be in.
Oh, yeah. I saw that they wanted to join the Big East for basketball. Is that it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is it. Yeah. And a lot of other stuff. Today, let's see, from the commercial appeal over there in Memphis, shout out to West Tennessee, Jason Moons of The Appeal, he wrote an article today entitled, Will AAC Replace UConn? If so, who are the top candidates? If not, how does it affect Memphis? Let's see, Jason starts off by saying it's not official, but some around the AAC, also known as the American Athletic Conference, view Connecticut's departure as a foregone conclusion, including Memphis head coach Penny Hardaway. The second-year Tiger basketball coach said Monday, losing the Huskies will hurt. Let's see. Hardaway says, UConn is a powerhouse. They've won national championships on both sides, the men's and the women's. That's a championship university, so losing that, if they do leave, will be tough. The president of the Big East presidents of Big East schools voted via phone Monday to invite and accept UConn to the conference. So back to the Big East for UConn. They were in the Big East forever, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't that like where they were forever?
Yeah, that's when like the Big East was the height of basketball. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now they're going back. I guess they don't like the AC. I don't blame them. I mean, when you're in a conference with, let's see, who's in the AC? When you're in a conference with Memphis, who else is in there?
Is it UCF?
Are they in the AC? That sounds right.
Yeah.
I think so. So UCF, I think Houston is also in the AAC.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe USF even. I'm not sure if that's right. But when you're in a conference like that, coming from the Big East, of course you're going to want to go back.
Yeah, that's a step down.
No, definitely. That's almost like FCS, mm-hmm. if we're being completely honest.
Yeah, and even since the Big East, you know, breakup, they've still been producing championship talent. I mean, look at Villanova.
Sure.
They've won, you know, two of the last, 5 years, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I don't blame UConn, but it is kind of weird. They just can't seem to make up their mind. The article goes on to say the details of the move are set to be reviewed by Attorney General William Tong when the UConn Board of Trustees meet Wednesday to vote whether to accept. If approved, a formal announcement could be made as soon as Thursday. Going back to Hardaway, even though Hardaway thinks losing UConn could turn out to be a blow for the conference, he slightly hedged his initial statement. It depends on who we replace them with, Hardaway said. If everything proceeds as planned, UConn will make a break for it after the 2019-2020 athletic season. Whether the AAC will select a replacement in football has resulted in conflicting reports recently. The Cincinnati Inquirer reported late Monday it's unlikely the league will make an addition to bring the number of football teams back to 12. Brett McMurphy also says, let's see, his sources, however, did not completely rule out the AAC replacing UConn in football. According to his most recent report, the list of realistic options is fairly short. McMurphy's sources indicate outside of Army and BYU, oh wow, the AAC is perhaps better off sticking with 11 football teams, canning the divisional format, and pitting the top two teams in the standings against one another in the league title game. If neither Army nor BYU pan out, the AAC probably will decide to roll with 11 members in both football and basketball. So do y'all think this is a good move by UConn? I mean, I know we just kind of said AAC isn't a great conference. But, I mean, is the Big East that much better?
I mean, definitely not in football.
Definitely not in football.
Yeah.
Definitely not in football. Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think they, if they can, should stay in the AAC football and move to the Big East for basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, UConn hasn't been, you know, very good in either one lately.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. When they won that national championship in basketball in
2010?
It's whenever Kemba was there, yeah.
Yeah, and Jeremy Lamb, that was a sick team.
Yeah, like maybe 2010, 2011, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, I'm pretty sure their girls probably won it that same year as well. I feel like there was a stretch there where their girls won the title for, what, 2-3 straight years or something?
Yeah, they're dominant.
Yeah, they had that crazy win streak.
Yeah, I think the girls won the same year as the guys did.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since then, I mean, it's just been terrible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't want to sit here and say their football team was ever good. Now, they did have that good run, you know, honestly, not too long ago. I forget the coach's name. I should have looked that up. But after he left, it all just kind of went downhill. So I don't know what's going on up there. I don't know if they just don't care anymore. That kind of seems to be the way things go for universities. I mean, that's what happened to Tennessee. They obviously stopped caring about winning as much. They kind of focused more on the academic side, which, you know, I'm not going to have that debate right now. But there's some people that think that's best. There's some people that think that's wrong. I don't know. I don't really care. But that mm-hmm. might be it. But it is interesting to see that one of the best Big East teams, arguably, especially in basketball, maybe coming back. I think it's very, very interesting. Let's see. I found another article kind of talking about this. This one from, let's see, who are you? The Hartford Courant, believe that's how you say that. They say UConn on the verge of joining the Big East. Football likely in need of a landing spot outside of the AAC. This is from this is just from a few days ago, the 22nd. They say UConn is on the verge of joining the Big East for all sports that the conference sponsors, including basketball. Though the university is awaiting and fully expecting an official invitation from the Big East this week with an announcement of the Huskies more tentatively scheduled for Thursday. The move returns UConn to its storied basketball roots and is expected to trigger long-term security and better opportunity for its two programs in that sport. However, UConn must figure out what to do with its football program because the primary Big East schools do not play that sport. Dropping football is not being considered despite the program accounting for the biggest hit in the athletic department's $41 million deficit last year. It is highly unlikely that the AAC would have interest in retaining UConn as a football-only member. Though with scheduling done well in advance, the Huskies are expected to play in the AAC this season. I think it would be very weird if basketball and all the other teams at UConn go to the Big East and then football stays in the AAC. I don't know about y'all. I just think it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's many universities that do that except for, you know, I know Tennessee Rowing is in the Big Ten, but other than that, we're SEC.
Right.
You don't do that, especially kind of being – I mean,
especially
UConn,
for the big sports like basketball, football.
Yeah.
That's just odd.
Yeah, I mean, especially kind of being a big – I mean, I guess you can kind of say UConn. I mean, it's a well-known name, maybe just for its basketball, especially women's basketball. It's a well-known name. So to have a university of that type of caliber to do that, I just think it's odd. I mean, if this was – you know, if this was somebody else, like – I don't know. Like if ETSU did it, I don't really think anybody would care.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be that odd. You know, universities like that. But, I mean, when you're UConn, you've won national titles in a few sports. You know, you've been the best of the best before, and now you're splitting time with different conferences just because of sports. I don't know. If I was a UConn fan, I would not like it at all. I wouldn't. It's just weird. It makes you look – I think it makes them look terrible. But you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my two cents. So, yeah, UConn, I don't think they know what's going on. I don't know what's going on up there.
It's very confusing.
It's very strange.
What they're trying to do right now.
I don't really remember ever seeing a university kind of doing this, kind of going back to a conference they used to be in. They used to dominate, but wanting to leave one team in a different conference.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I can't recall.
I mean, because nowadays when you move conferences, it's mainly because of money.
Hmm.
I don't see the Big East. Well, maybe the Big East has a lot of money. I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of storied basketball programs in the Big East. But the AAC, I mean, there is money. You know, like, there is good money. But when you talk about big money in college athletics, it's not there.
Yeah.
So I just don't see why they would do it unless they absolutely had to just to keep their football program. But we'll see. Hopefully they get it figured out. Hopefully they can all go to the same conference because I'd feel bad for those fans. I really would. If Tennessee wanted to stay, let's say if Tennessee wanted to go to, let's say the ACC and everything but football and wanted to stay in the SEC in football, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
It'd be pretty weird.
It'd be very weird. I mean, I would love the fact that we're staying in the SEC for football. Well, to an extent, I'd like to have an easier schedule. but then again, you know, come basketball, baseball, you know, all the other sports seasons, you're playing a completely different kind of schedule, completely mm-hmm. different fan bases than you do during the fall. So, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, and you have, like, those – like, even with basketball, like, Kentucky and Florida, they're still big rivals for us in basketball. So,
mm-hmm.
it would be weird
it would not change. Playing them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be playing – you know, to stick with the ACC, for example, you'd be playing Clemson and Virginia Tech twice a year instead of going to Rupp or going down to Gainesville mm-hmm. once and then having them come here. So, yeah, it'd be very odd. I don't know. I'm just glad it's not us. I really am. Because every time I see something about UConn doing this, it kind of makes my skin crawl. It's just too weird for me. It's just too odd. But we will leave that to them. And we will get to Mount Rushmore coming up. I teased it earlier. I'll go ahead and let you know. I can't keep it to myself anymore. Today's Mount Rushmore. I mentioned it in the previous segment, The Drive, Russell and Trey. And then, of course, T-Carp, one of our beloved listeners. We're talking about certain conspiracy theories, so that got me thinking. Tonight's Mount Rushmore, our favorite conspiracy theories. I think this is going to be a good one. I'm low-key, let's say, a nerd when it comes to conspiracy theories. I don't believe a lot of them, but I like reading about them. I like studying, well, quote unquote, studying about them. So it should be fun and it should be interesting. Don't miss it. It is on the other side. We'll be right back. You're listening to Overtime on Fan Run Radio. Okay, we're on the
podcast once again.
We are on the podcast once again for all you listeners out there that will be listening later when I post it. But anyway, we will be doing conspiracy theories tonight. I don't know about YouTube, but I already mentioned. I kind of like them. I like to read into them. Not many I believe in. I think a lot of them are just BS. But we will discuss our favorite ones. Julia, hit the music. Okay, I'll go ahead and start. Let's see. First, for me, this is one I definitely don't believe in, but I love to read about thoughts on why certain people believe in it. The moon landing. I don't think that's real at all. I do not think it's real. If you believe in that, you don't know what you're doing. So that's definitely number one.
Call him out, Cole.
Yeah, I am. I am, everybody. I am. It's not real. So stop saying it is.
Don't believe in the moon landing or the conspiracy theory?
I don't think the moon landing was fake.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the conspiracy.
Yeah. I think we landed on the moon. I think our flag is up there stiff.
I'm with you on that.
Next, I think this one's very interesting. The Paul McCartney being dead one. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that? I think that one's very interesting.
I was just reading about it because I was doing a little research now, had to find some good ones, and that's very interesting.
Yeah. Another one real quick. Let's see. The secret society that controls the world. Have y'all kind of read about that or heard about that?
Illuminati?
Yeah, Illuminati, yeah. The Freemasons.
Yeah, and then kind of also the stuff. Do y'all listen to the Joe Rogan podcast?
No.
He kind of talked about that like not too long ago. Have you heard it?
I've watched a couple of his podcasts. I haven't heard that one.
Like the one with him and Alex Jones. That one's crazy.
Yeah, Alex Jones. He's a big one.
Yeah, and then last but not least, the JFK assassination. I think he was shot.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't think that was faked. I don't know why it would have been faked. That I do like that one, though. It's kind of like the moon landing. I kind of like reading, you know, how people think, oh, it could have happened like this, or this is what really happened. It's cool to see it that way, but no, that was not real.
Yeah.
Who's next?
You want to go, Matt?
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, so coming in at the number one spot, I have the Tupac conspiracy
theory. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, if he's still alive, you know, I feel like every year someone's saying that they saw
somebody
him.
Sees him every
year.
Yeah, there's a picture of him. Something crazy like that. Coming in at number two, he's been in the news a lot lately, has some good movies. Mr. John Wick himself, Keanu Reeves, that he is a time-traveling vampire.
Yeah, one's interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of old pictures of him or that look like him. And, he doesn't seem to age at all. That's another interesting one. My third one is, speaking of Alex Jones, the lizard people.
Yeah, yeah. I almost included that one. Mm-hmm. I almost did.
I always think it's funny. I one time I got this Uber driver who was driving me and my friends around, and he was adamant about how they were, like, these lizard people were living on Earth disguised as humans and, like, sucking power. I don't know. It was the strangest Uber.
I don't have to read on that one.
Yeah, it was very strange. And, yeah, I'll leave it at that. My fourth one is, have you guys heard of the Denver airport conspiracies?
I have not. No.
There's some spooky stuff going on.
I actually
on
have
there.
Heard about that one. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to read about that later.
Yeah, I watched.
You'd love that one, Cole.
Yeah, I watched a video on it on YouTube. And, like, so the design of the airport, from the airport, from like a bird's eye view, if you look straight down at it, it's in the shape of a swastika. It's a little unsettling. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And then if you look at the artwork that's going on in there, I mean, they have like paintings of genocide. It's like
I'll have to read later.
It's blatant all over the airport. And then there's also like a lot of like underground, like unused like infrastructure down, like, I don't know, there's like 470,000 square feet of like just space under the Denver airport. Now people think that that's where like the president and like all the congress members go if something was to happen.
Gotcha. Julia, give yours real quick.
My
turn your mic on. There you go.
Be on. All right. I got assassination of JFK. Like Cole said, I have the U.S. government being behind 9/11.
Ooh.
Really interesting to me. Don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm
obviously.
With you. I don't believe that.
Assassination of Princess Diana.
That's a good one, too.
And NBA teams purposefully tanking to better their chance of winning lottery picks.
I believe in that
one. Yeah, I believe that.
I'll tell you what. I believe in that. I kind of believe in the Princess Diana one, too. I kind of do. Mm. I don't think it was a coincidence. I really don't.
Yep.
But anyway, that'll do it for hour one. Hour two coming up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.